When you think of queens, who do you think of? Marie Antoinette? I'm sure a lot of eyes and heads will roll at that one. Do you think of Queen Elizabeth? Do you think of things beyond that? Do you think of Cleopatra? Me personally, I think about the queen of manga and anime quite frequently. That being Rumiko Takahashi. Anime and manga royalty. The otaku culture would not be anywhere near as great as it is without her. And I probably would not have the same personality that I had if her works did not exist. And I would say a big part of that is Urusei Yatsura, which we actually will be covering this volume. But I want to start with something else. You ever heard of Mermaid Saga? Mermaid Saga is a bare bones manga in the best possible way. It follows these two people who have eaten mermaid splash,
You what?
which is a poison, and that poison can either grant immortality or it can disfigure someone and cause them to lose their humanity. And these two are just traveling across Japan. And our two protagonists are Yuta, who is initially looking for a way to die naturally. Because the only known way that somebody who's eaten the flesh of a mermaid can die is to be beheaded. And he's joined by Mana, a teen who is tricked into eating the mermaid's flesh. Not by him, by a group of actual mermaids who are evil, but kind of not. It's a weird first few chapters. Yuta was super alone, but after Mana comes around, they just go around Saba mysteries that revolve around people who have eaten mermaid splash. When I say bare bones in the best possible way, I mean that the protagonists aren't that interesting, but the world around them and the stories that are told and the characters that they encounter are fascinating. Like seeing the trials that Yuta went through, the women who he's fallen in love with after his wife passed because she was afraid of him because he wasn't aging and she was. There's this one with this girl who, well, I can't say what happens to her, but she's around and it's got to do with flowers and I was just kind of shook. But the one thing that people think about when they think of Mermaid Saga, if they've heard of it, is this story about a psychopathic little boy. And dear God, I watched the anime for Mermaid Saga, and then I watched a different anime that was specifically about that story. So I've digested this three different times. It is really creepy, and Rumiko Takahashi is good at writing creepy when she wants to. And that really does speak to her versatility, because up to this point, she had worked on Urusei Yatsura and Meizani Koku, which are kind of similar, but they're extremely different at the same time. And with this one, she's got this dark overtone, but at her core, Rumiko Takahashi, I won't say that she's a comedian, but she knows how to insert comedy very well at the perfect time when the situation calls for it. And really seeing that in manga form from, the 70s and 80s, you think, oh man, they really had it going on back then. I like seeing it in Takahashi's work or reading the original Dragon Ball. Akira Toriyama really had it, but I just love, because sometimes Rumiko Takahashi is just, she's just a conservative level of crass, and it just works. I mean, she is brilliant, truly. She has this really interesting take on humanity and mortality in this story, and they're really great takes, honestly. And the burdens of immortality and the wish that you can be mortal. I've seen this a lot, and this is kind of going off on a tangent, but it's really what this whole manga is about in a nutshell. There are people who are actively seeking mermaid flesh for one of two reasons. Either they want to be immortal, or they want to be mortal again, either because they didn't know that they ate mermaid's flesh, like Yuta, or they say, I've made a horrible mistake, like some of the characters in this book. And it's very much a the grass is always greener on the other side type of thing, because to some people, immortality seems like a great idea. When you realize that everything is eventually going to die and leave you, when you're alive for hundreds of years, and you have to face a modernization that is so vast, something that people who went from dial-up to Wi-Fi could not possibly fathom. It's honestly just, it's an incredible thought that there are people out there, when the earth eventually explodes, to think that there are going to be people who are just going to be floating in space for the rest of time, unless they get their head cut off. There's just so much for this mortality and immortality discussion, but I personally teeter over to the side of mortality, because I just think having a finite life is great, because it puts a little bit more pressure on you to enjoy the little things on your own. When you finally realize that that's what you probably should be doing, it depends person to person. And the people who have attained immortality in this book, and this is what I like about Rumiko Takahashi, all of them are saying the same thing, especially Yuta. I want to have that. I want to have that finite life. I want to die naturally. I want to live a normal life somehow. So the way that she presents that, and how she presents how both parties want what the other has, she did a really great job of that. So while the protagonists, again, while they aren't that interesting, there is that moral dilemma that exists, not just with Yuta at least, but the people who Yuta and Mana encounter. And it really does kind of make you pick a side by the end, because the concept is thrown into your face. You kind of have this inner debate, and you have to really think, what would be best for me? It's a deep book, honestly, and it's short. It's a very good weekend read, but I was just so impressed with how such short content can be so affecting. But that's the power of Rumiko Takahashi. There are, funny enough, speaking about finite, the book obviously does come to an end. Like I said, it's short. And there are people who have disdain for the ending. And I understand it to an extent. But for our protagonists, it's actually extremely fitting. It's fitting for where they are on their journey and the implication that there's just so much more to do. The story that they leave on, they essentially leave on a high note. And I notice this trend in Takahashi's story. I noticed it in Urusei Yatsura. I noticed it in Inuyasha, which obviously because it ended up getting a sequel, I noticed it in Ranma. Rumiko Takahashi does this thing where it ends on an open note. And I don't think she does it for there to be sequels. I think the way that she does it, it's just their stories don't end with her. Even though they end with her, they don't end with her. There's still so many stories to be told. It lets you know that there is a life for these characters moving forward. And I really like that openness that she has displayed from the works that I've read. So seeing that in Mermaid Saga was nice. I think that the art is just classic Rumiko Takahashi, and that's perfect for me. It's kind of a perfection. I haven't read Ranma. I've watched Ranma. And I did read some of Ranma. I got kind of frustrated with the anime, so I just kind of skipped to the ending of the manga, and I was like, oh, okay. But this is just another example of Rumiko Takahashi growing as a mangaka. And you can see that in both her storytelling, and you can see that in her art, which it's just lovely to look at. And while I did say what I said about the story with the little boy being terrifying, neither of them really did a whole lot for me. Especially, I don't know, one thing about the anime adaptation is they make it known, and they do it actually in the manga too now that I realize it. Every episode or every new chapter, that's right, I ate the flesh of a mermaid. And they always like mutilate themselves just to prove a point, because if you get cut, you heal very quickly. If you die, you come back to life, essentially. They really drive that home, especially in the anime. And I watch the English dub, so I got it every time, just that dramatic. Yes, I ate the flesh of a mermaid. But whatever, you know? Overall, I would definitely say give this a read. Like I said, it's an easy read over a weekend. It's enjoyable. It can be creepy without being overtly terrifying. And it's just got a great world set up. Rumiko Takahashi, as always, is just in her bag. And I love it. I love Rumiko Takahashi. I really do. With all that being said, if you want to follow me, you can do so on Instagram at AnimeAlphaGoat. If you want to email me recommendations, you can do so at ouranimehome@gmail.com. If you want to support what it is that I'm doing, then please consider subscribing to the Patreon or the Buy Me a Tea. And everything is on my website at ouranimehome.com. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. You're just wonderful people, every single one of you. You are truly appreciated and valued. And with that, I am out.